محمد رسول الله. حي على الصلاة. حي على الصلاة. حي على الفلاح. حي على الفلاح. الله أكبر الله أكبر. لا إله إلا الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتؤمنون بالله. صدق الله العظيم. وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: من رأى منكم منكرا فليغير بيده، فإن لم يستطع فبلسانه، فإن لم يستطع فبقلبه، وذلك أضعف الإيمان، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Most respected elders and brothers, continuing from our topic of discussion last week, just to recap, that we had discussed this verse of the Quran Sharif in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a glad tidings that we who are the followers of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that we who claim to be from the nation and from the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have been given the title of Khayra Ummah. Khayra Ummah means the best of nations, the best of ummahs. So this is something which makes us feel very privileged, very honored, that we have been selected, we have been chosen, irrespective of our financial condition, our family background, our lineage. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, solely and only through His mercy, He has chosen us to be from the followers and the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, which is something that we need to appreciate, we need to value. We also mentioned that every single privilege and every single title, every position comes with a corresponding set of responsibilities. So a person is given, for example, the title of manager of a certain business. So one is to have the title of being the manager. And together with that, there comes with a corresponding set of responsibility, that you need to manage this entire business, ensure that, you know, stock is kept at the right level, bills are being paid, staff are being seen to, customers are happy, and whatever goes with the business, The manager is expected to ensure that everything is functional, everything is running well. So we will now say that the person is worthy of the title that has been given to him. So Allah Ta'ala has given us a title that you are khayra ummah, you are the best of all nations. Now the question is that are there any responsibilities that are corresponding, that are attached, that are related to this great title? And definitely, yes, there is. And there are. In this verse, Allah Ta'ala has given us some of our responsibilities. As a being the followers, or as an ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Allah Ta'ala says, تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, that you will command, you will enjoin, you will encourage towards that which is ma'roof. In Arabic, the word ma'roof, if we have to do a literal translation of ma'roof, then it means that which is known, that which is recognized. Al-ma'roof, that which is recognized. And then Allah Ta'ala says that you prohibit, you prevent from that which is unrecognized, al-munkar. So ulama ikram have translated it that that which is recognized, some have translated it that which is fair and that which is unfair. Some have translated it that you will command towards that which is good and you will forbid from that which is evil. So it is important for us to consider these two words which Allah Ta'ala has used. And there is a reason why Allah Ta'ala has used every single word in the Quran Sharif. Subhanallah, the mufassireen, the commentators of the Quran Sharif, when they go into the meaning and the finer details of why a particular word was used, and what are the derivatives of this word, what are the connotations of this word, and why has Allah Ta'ala used these particular words? Remember, Allah Ta'ala is a being, that Allah Ta'ala doesn't do anything just in haste. Everything that Allah Ta'ala does, there is a great wisdom and hikmah behind it. In Arabic they say, فِعْلُ الْحَكِيمِ لَا يَخْلُو مِنَ الْحِكْمَةِ, that the action of a wise person will never be devoid of wisdom. Meaning a wise man, or a wise woman, intelligent woman, then every single thing that that man does, because of his wisdom, you will see that there is a definite reason behind it. Why did you buy this particular vehicle? You'll say, no, I looked at this and I looked at that and I looked at this and that is why I've purchased this vehicle. Why did you buy a house in this area? Why you are renting in this area? You say, no, I've considered this and I looked at that and I looked at this and I looked at that and I thought about the long term, you know, and that's why I've decided this. So in Arabic they say, فِعْلُ الْحَكِيمِ لَا يَخْلُو مِنَ الْحِكْمَةِ, the action of a wise person is never devoid of wisdom. So one is a wise person, but one is Al-Hakim, meaning Allah Ta'ala, who is all wise. If we could give a description, then we could say that where wisdom ends, that is where Allah Ta'ala's wisdom begins. And it has got no end. We cannot understand the hikmah of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, the wisdom of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Hence, even the very words that Allah Ta'ala uses in the Qur'an Majeed, there is great wisdom and there is a definite reason behind it. So Allah Ta'ala used the word ma'roof and munkar. That which is recognized and that which is not recognized. So ulama ikram explain that first of all, if a person does not have the ability to know that which is recognized and that which is unrecognized, then it will not be proper for that individual to take on this task. A simple example. A person wants to drive a vehicle, but if he doesn't have the capability, he doesn't know how to drive the vehicle, we will never allow him to drive that vehicle. Because if he is from point A to point B, he could put his life at risk, and sometimes he can put the life of other road users at risk. Hence the person who is driving the vehicle has to have the necessary qualifications and the necessary competency to be able to drive that vehicle. Ulama ikram explained that this activity of Amar bil Ma'roof and Nahi anil Munkar, the person who engages in it, has to have the necessary understanding to realize what is Ma'roof and what is Munkar. If he doesn't know what is Ma'roof and what is Munkar, then instead of inviting people towards that which is recognized and unrecognized, he will do more damage and more harm to the community and society. Hence a person has to have sufficient knowledge of being able to make amar bil ma'ruf and nahi anil munkar. So therefore, this aspect, for example, ulama ikram explained that commanding and enjoining to that which is recognized, we will break it down into a few different departments. That, for example, that which is compulsory, for example, performing our fard salah. And now if we encourage a person to perform fard salah, we will say that that encouragement is not only important, but it is also compulsory. That it is now our duty to encourage people to perform the 5 daily salah. But now on the other hand, when it comes to tahajjud salah, now we all know that we have got 5 daily salah, which is compulsory. And besides that, whatever else is remaining is mustahab, it is desirable, it is something which you will be rewarded if you do it. And if you do not do it, you will not be punished. There will be no sin. There is no reproach. Hence, if a person now, if he regards commanding people to perform tahajjud salah as compulsory, then we will say that this is incorrect. His encouraging people to perform tahajjud salah will be something which is mustahab at most. We will not say it is necessary, we will not say it is wajib, we will say it is mustahab. And similarly, when it comes to that which is munkar, that if the person, for example, is drinking wine, and we know the drinking of wine is completely haram, it is completely impermissible. Hence, to discourage someone from drinking wine will not only be allowed, it will be necessary for the person to do it. However, if there is some action which the person, due to his high level of taqwa, for example, the person regards wearing a certain kind of shoe as inappropriate. He says, for example, just giving an example, he says that your shoe must be, like one person said, that you know, we must avoid wearing black shoes because the ghilaf of the Kaaba, the covering of the Kaaba Sharif is black. And therefore, we should not wear black shoes because it is disrespect to the ghilaf of the Kaaba. Now obviously, if we go to the ulama-i kiram, they will explain to you that there is no such thing. That though the Kaabatullah, tomorrow if the government decides to change the color of the ghilaf of the Kaaba, then what will happen to us? So that is his own personal, you know, high level of respect. That is his own level. We respect him for his high level of respect. However, it is not compulsory, it is not faraz, it is not wajib. We won't even say it is sunnah to do such a thing. Now if the person looks at someone wearing the black shoes, and now he starts, you know, telling them, you're not allowed to wear black shoes because of his disrespect. We would say that to do such an action is inappropriate because it is not, he is not committing a sin. The person is not committing any sin, hence it is not necessary for you to command him with, perhaps if you feel that he is pious and he wants to come to your level, then you say, you know, I prefer wearing other color shoes because black shoes, you know, resemble the ghilaf of the Kaaba. So I, maybe you should consider it. Maybe you said anything that we could consider. So therefore Allah Ta'ala says that تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. In the same way, and we had touched on this last week, that there are some aspects which ma'roof, Allah Ta'ala used the word ma'roof, which means recognized. And ulama-i-kiram explained that it is something that has to be recognized by the entire ummah. There has to be a unanimous view that this particular action, it is ma'roof, it is recognized, it is a good deed. And this particular action is an evil. Hence, if we find that some ulama-i-kiram are of the view that this aspect is not an evil, and there are others that feel that it is somewhat of an evil. So now we will say that there is a difference of opinion amongst the scholars. And all of these scholars are qualified to view this and have these opinions. So therefore we cannot say that if a certain person is engaged, for example, we had discussed last week, that there are some ulama who say, who are of the view that the Islamic banks that we have around, it is not permissible to have an account and to deal with those banks and to engage in taking loans from those banks. And yet there are other ulama who are of the view that so long as the banks remain within these particular boundaries and it is substantiated from the hadith and from the verses of the Quran and Majid, and these ulama are competent, they are qualified, they have the necessary skill, and they are of the view that it is permissible for a person to engage in this kind of a transaction. And now we find that we have in the community a certain individual who decided to take a loan from an Islamic bank. We cannot regard that as munkar, because there is a difference of opinion. It is not something which is unrecognized. There are some from the ummah who are skilled, who have the necessary competency, who regard that as permissible. Hence ulama-i-kiram explain that to make nahi anil munkar from that which is not a munkar is a munkar in itself. In other words, to now prevent a person, forcefully force down your opinion, to prevent a person from engaging in that which is not munkar, then your very action of doing such a deed will be regarded as something which is, you know, inappropriate, and will also perhaps even be tantamount to a sin. So this is something very important for us to understand, that we hear this verse of the Quran Sharif being quoted, that kuntum khayra ummatin, that you are the best of nations, you must make amr bil ma'roof and nahi anil munkar. And now the person comes out from that bayan, he's highly charged, and now he goes out and he starts commanding people and shouting and screaming at people. So now again, he's shouting and screaming at people will cause sometimes more damage to that community and more mischief and fitna, and they can even cause families to now be separated, which we are seeing now, nowadays. We are seeing families that are now separating because of these kind of differences amongst the ulama-i-kiram. May Allah Ta'ala protect us. It is very important for us, in other verses of the Quran Sharif, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala speaks about the unity of the ummah. وَأَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَلَا تَنَازَعُوا فَتَفْشَلُوا وَتَذْهَبَ رِيعُكُمْ وَاصْبِرُوا. Allah Ta'ala says, O ummah, that you must obey and be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ, that be obedient to Allah's command and the command of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and do not dispute and argue amongst each other. Because when you will start arguing and you will start disputing and you will start fighting, one is we can debate a matter in a respectful manner. That look, you know, I am of the view that we should fit the aircon in the masjid on the right hand side. I'm giving an example. And the other person says, you know, I feel that the aircon should be on the left hand side. Now, a person cannot just put forward a view without substantiating. Can you explain to me, why do you want the aircon on the right hand side? For what reason? He says, no, look, I'm looking at the window. It's easy for us to put the external unit on that side. It'll make more sense. The other person says, you know, I feel rather it goes on this side, because if you put it on the outside, there's a probability that the external unit could take a walk. We're living in South Africa, where things take a walk outside. So there's a great possibility this external unit will be... So now we can say that each view is substantiated. And now we need to respect each person's view. He said, look, I don't agree with that view, but mashallah, you've got a point there. Imagine if we can have this kind of a scenario within our community, where would the fight be? So Nabi Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَا تَنَازَعُ, because now if you will fight and argue and dispute, فَتَذْهَبَ رِيحُكُمْ فَتَفْشَلُوا وَتَذْهَبَ رِيحُكُمْ, you will become extremely cowardly. There will cowardice that will set in. And your might and your power will disappear, will vanish. And this is why we find today, we say that we are, you know, the fastest growing ummah in the world. And we say it with so much of pride. And look at the Muslims, how we're growing. We're growing so fast, but as we're growing, we are becoming more fragmented. More fragmented. There's more. And now from the very fragment, somebody is coming and shattering it even further. That if there was 10 groups, then from the 10 groups, everyone is further fractionalizing it. Shattering that group in another 10 groups. And everybody takes enjoyment in further, you know, breaking the group into smaller groups. And each person wants to break it and carry on further. But Allah Ta'ala says, wasbiru, that be patient. That have patience. Yes, your view may not be taken. Never mind. Learn to still tolerate that person's view. Tolerate that person's opinion. Learn to accept that each person is entitled to his view and his opinion. Provided, of course, it is remains within the boundaries of Sharia, that which is clearly halal and that which is clearly haram. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in these verses, that kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas. Last week we spoke in quite detail of what is ukhrijat linnas. That Allah Ta'ala has taken you out for the benefit of mankind at large. Allah Ta'ala didn't use the word ukhrijat lil muslimin or ukhrijat lil mu'mineen. That you have only been taken out to benefit the mu'mineen, or you have been only taken out to benefit the people from your country. Aapke saathi ho bas, we only look after our people. But Allah Ta'ala said, ukhrijat linnas. Tamam logo ke liye, the entire mankind, whether the person is white, whether the person is black, whether the person is Muslim, whether the person is iman is strong or not strong, irrelevant, you are there to benefit mankind at large. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us that wonderful sifat and that wonderful quality. And there are so many examples of this nature in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in the life of the Sahaba-i-Kiram. When the Sahaba-i-Kiram conquered, non-Muslims also benefited. They also benefited. There are so many examples, we don't have time to go into that detail. So you have been taken out to be of some service and some benefit to mankind and to humanity at large. The beautiful poem we quoted last week, that وَخَيْرُ النَّاسِ مِنْ بَيْنِ الْوَرَىٰ رَجُلٌ تَقْضِي عَلَىٰ يَدِهِ لِلنَّاسِ حَرْجًا. The best of people, the best of man amongst mankind is that individual, that on his hands the needs of others are being fulfilled. Other people's needs are being fulfilled on his hands. قَدْ عَاشَ قَوْمٌ وَقَدْ مَاتَ قَوْمٌ وَمَا مَاتَتْ مَكَارِمُهُمْ وَعَاشَ قَوْمٌ وَهُمْ فِي النَّاسِ أَمْوَاتُ. He said there are some people, they have passed away. وَمَا مَاتَتْ مَكَارِمُهُمْ. But their kindness, their generosity, their good deeds has not died. It continues to live on. وَعَاشَ قَوْمٌ. And there are some people who are alive, but they are like dead people amongst us. They are absolutely dead. They have no benefit to anyone. They are only worried about their own stomachs and their own lives. And there are other people who live to benefit mankind. خَيْرُ النَّاسِ. They are the best of people. Based on the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, خَيْرُ النَّاسِ أَنْفَعُهُمْ لِلنَّاسِ. The best of man is those who are beneficial to mankind at large. May Allah ta'ala make us amongst them. And it starts within our own little families. Our own family. You know, he doesn't have my view, so that's it. I'm not willing to talk to him any longer. And some people take it to another level. And because he disagrees with my view with regards to the aircon, so he mustn't even come for my janazah. Finish. Our late Mu'ayyanus Patel Sahib Rahmatullah used to say that those who say and tell you that you mustn't come for the janazah, so he says, I tell them, make sure you go for the janazah. Because definitely he is not that person when in his casket, he is not going to lift his head to see who came or didn't come. So you carry on and go. But this is how people take it to such a level. And Allahu Akbar, today we are living in a society where people will use all sorts of proofs and slogans to justify their harshness and their hardness. And so you will hear this common slogan, we are standing up for haqq. We are standing up for that which is truth. Again, where there is a difference of opinion, one cannot say that this is haqq and this is batil. Subhanallah, the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that when the mufti applies his mind, when he applies his mind, and he arrives at a conclusion which is correct, then he will get two double rewards. He will get two rewards. One is the reward for applying his mind, and one is the reward for being correct. And on the other hand, the mufti, of course, who is qualified, and he applies his mind, and he arrives at a conclusion which is incorrect. So Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said he will get one reward. He will still get one reward for applying his mind. So subhanallah, ulama-i kiram explained that when two muftis apply their mind, na un par wahi aya, na un par wahi aya. That Jibreel al-Islam didn't come to that mufti to bring down the masla, and neither did Jibreel al-Islam come to that mufti to give the masla. Hence nobody can say for sure that my view is definite. Hence the ulama-i kiram explained that even when the mufti is issuing his fatwa, he should have this view, that there is I am of the view that my opinion is correct, with the possibility that I may be wrong. And I am of the view that the other verdict is incorrect, but it has the possibility of being correct. If a person can maintain this kind of a stance, then we will not hear the slogan that we are standing up for the truth, and therefore we will lash out. One person quoted, he said that, you know, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, when there was a group of Muslims who refused to pay zakat, and then he was very hard and he was willing to wage a war against them. So we will say that is qiyas ma'al fariq. We found one incident from the life of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu that conformed to our tabiat, to our mizaj. And we forgot the entire life of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Let's study the life of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. How often was he hard and harsh to the sahaba ikram? Did he call his fellow colleagues and his fellow sahaba such derogatory terms and humiliated them and went in the public and defamed? Do we ever see an incident where Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu tackled Umar radiallahu anhu and insulted him in front of his the fellow sahaba ikram? Never. In fact, we will see the total contrary. The life of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu is an open book filled with kindness, filled with generosity, filled with compassion, filled with love. One isolated incident, because it conformed to a person's tabiat, that this person is very harsh and hard. This person is filled with anger. Unke andar bahut hi ghussa hai. He's angry with everyone. He's angry with his wife too. The person is angry with the staff. He's angry with the house. He's angry with the roof. Our late Maulana Sahib Rahmatullah used to say that our society is filled with anger. Everyone is angry with everyone. The parents are angry with the children. Children are angry with the parents. Husband is angry with the wife. Wife is angry with the husband. Everywhere there is nothing but anger. Hence you find that nothing but anger comes out. Now the person's tabiat and mizaj is filled with anger. Hence he finds one example in the life of the Sahaba Ikram where there was some bit of anger. And he says, ah, there's it, got it. Now I'll use this and I'll justify my harshness and hardness. Yet if we study the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah is declared in the Quran and Majid, فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ, that it was out of the rahmat of Allah ta'ala, wa Nabi of Allah, that you were merciful, you were soft, you were narm mizaj. Your mizaj was soft. You were gentle, you were kind. وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْفَضُّ مِنْ حَوْلِكَ, O Nabi of Allah, if you had to be harsh, if you had to be hard, the Sahaba ikram would have dispersed from you. They wouldn't have sat around you. So study the life, see the softness, see the gentleness. Allahu Akbar. Allah Ta'ala instructed us that when you go to Fir'aun, who Allah knew was going to drown, who Allah knew will never be a mu'min, who Allah knew was his enemy, open enemy. But Allah Ta'ala says, when you go to Fir'aun, فَقُولَا لَهُ قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا فَقُولَا لَهُ قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا, then speak to Fir'aun in a soft and a kind and a gentle manner. Today we will find people will insult other Muslims who have got iman. The person is a believer. Perhaps he may not be so pious as you feel you are. The reality is the person who feels his pious. One alim says, ke jis waqt tum apne nigaah mein bhale maloom hota hai, to samajh lo ke khuda ke nigaah mein tum bure maloom ho. That from that moment you regard yourself as very pious. Main to kuch hoon. That I am Mr. Somebody. Main to pahunch gaya. I have now reached. Remember, that is the moment you have become despicable in the eye of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from any kind of ujab. We are absolutely nothing. We must regard ourselves as absolutely nothing. Look at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When he conquered Makkatul Mukarramah, what was his condition? Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, when she saw Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performing salah, hatta tawarramat qadamahu, until his mubarak feet became swollen. She says, why are you exerting yourself like this? وَقَدْ غَفَرَ اللَّهُ لَكَ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِكَ وَمَا تَأَخَّرَ, when Allah has forgiven all your sins. He said, أَفَلَا أَكُونَ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا, when my Allah has been so kind to me, so merciful to me, so loving to me, so caring to me, should I not appreciate the kindness and mercy of my Allah? It shows you that mizaj, that kindness, the softness of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hence, when we are making amar bil ma'roof and nahi anil munkar, it must be done with great hikmah, great love. And the person has to have the necessary understanding that he has to know what is ma'roof and what is munkar. If he doesn't know what is ma'roof and munkar, it is not appropriate for that individual to be making amar bil ma'roof and nahi anil munkar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wah. Thank you.